Got two words for you this morning. Wake up. Look at the person next to you and say, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. My son and I have a routine every morning before school. Our routine goes something like this. I get up, and most of the time I'll go make my wife her lunch, and I will make him his cereal, and I will make myself something to eat, and then he and I have about 15 minutes to a half hour, depending on what time we got up, to just eat our breakfast, kind of lounge around before we've got to get our bath and get dressed. Well, the other day, we were a little sleepy. We didn't really want to kind of get up like we normally do, so I let him sleep a little longer. I slept a little longer, and I thought, well, I'm going to be cute today, and I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to get out of the routine. I'm going to break it up. So instead of waking him up, Billy, I thought, well, I'm going to go start the bath water, and then I'm going to go make him his breakfast and make my breakfast and, you know, do some, and I'm going to just check the bath water. That way, when it's bath time, man, we can just get in, get out, we're done. It's a perfect plan. Well, everything was going according to plan, and I sat down to have my breakfast, and I started watching a video. It was about 10 minutes long, and for whatever reason, I got totally engaged in it, Miss Sandra, totally engaged, and my alarm went off. I set alarms all morning for when we're supposed to do this, when we're supposed to do that. Alarm went off for bath time. As soon as it went off, I went, oh no. And I spun, you know, right out of my chair. And I ran, sprinted down the hallway into the bathroom. And usually when this happens, I catch it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, through my whole life, are you kidding? I've forgotten the bath water many, many times. But it rarely, if ever, overflows. Well, this day, it overflowed completely. It was so bad, there might have been that much water in my floor. It was going into the air conditioning vent. I heard it going, shoo, and I'm like, oh no. I start throwing towels everywhere against the sides of the walls and over the vent. And I got it cleaned up pretty good, I thought. Did a good job. And then I just had one of those moments where, you know, just where you want to bang yourself on the forehead with your palm. You ever have one of those palm to forehead moments? And I just wondered why I'm like this. Why is it that I'm so easily distracted? Why is it that it's so easy to take my mind off of something that important? The video I watched, I can't even tell you what it was about. It was fun at the time, but I can't. I'm telling you the story of the bathtub overflowing and flooding my bathroom. I'm not telling you about the video because the video really wasn't that big a deal. But I was running water in a bathtub in my home, and I knew if that bath water overflows. Are they wrestling back there? You guys okay in the office? Sound like they were practicing body slam. So I had this water in there, and I know that if it overflows, not only is it going to be a lot of work, and I'm already on a tight schedule, but this could ruin my floors. This could really damage my home long term. It's very, very important that I remember the water running in the bathtub. But I got distracted by this video. No, I didn't go to sleep. That's happened, but it wasn't this time. I got distracted. And some people go to sleep. Either way, your mind's not on what it ought to be on. Well, church, let me tell you this morning that there are many of us that fall asleep in our Christianity. We fall asleep. We're not alert. We're not paying attention. We know that we love Jesus. We know that we serve Jesus. We know that we're saved. Well, at least we believe that with all our heart. We come to church. We read our Bibles. But when it comes to daily living, when it comes to the things that we're allowing our minds to dwell on, when it's about the things coming out of our mouths, when it's about the things that we're engaging in, the things that we're doing, the way that we're treating other people, the way that we're treating our own bodies, We fall asleep and we get distracted. We forget who we serve. We forget what we're supposed to be doing. And we get distracted by sometimes the silliest, dumbest stuff. And sometimes the things that distract us are the very things that are destroying us. They're the very things that are tearing us apart. So today, all I want to do is I want to talk about waking up. I want to talk about shaking yourself spiritually this morning, church. I want to talk about paying attention to what the enemy is trying to do in your life and remembering that you serve a mighty and a powerful God. I'm talking about paying attention to how you're thinking, paying attention to what you're doing, how you're treating people, how you're treating your own body and your own mind, what you're feeding into your soul. I'm talking about paying attention to your spiritual life. And so many of us this morning, we're just asleep. Let me tell you, complacency can be the worst kind of sin you can engage in. Yeah, I love Jesus, but I don't really care about what he cares about. I don't really care to think about him, spend time with him, engage in a relationship with him. There are many Christians that come to church on Sundays that are very complacent. They do it out of function. They do it because it's religion. It's what you're supposed to do. But they're asleep at the wheel. They're not paying attention to God at all. Not paying attention to the Holy Spirit at all. Not paying attention to how they're living at all. So I say to you this morning, wake up. Look at the person next to you and say, wake up.
Wake up.
I will shake you. Shake you. We shake some of you. Shake you. Just wake up. You know, sometimes in the evenings when my wife comes home from work, she's so tired. My lovely lady, she's so tired. And we're watching TV and you know, we finally got the kids in bed, and she says, oh, we're going to have a marathon of this show or something tonight. I'm going to stay up. Billy, about 9 o'clock, 9:10. You know, she's over in a row, you know, huddled in her chair, you know, like this. She's got an ice pack on her neck, you know, and she's going. And I know it's over. I know she's going to bed. She's going to sleep. And sometimes I want to go over and shake her. Wake up! But then I remember she's awesome and I just let her sleep. Church, we need to spiritually wake up. I want to share a scripture with you today in Matthew chapter 26. My family looked at this last night and had a great discussion on it. Matthew 26, verses 40 through 41. I'm going to give you the setting and the backdrop of this verse. Jesus is about to be led away to be crucified. This is the time where he is in preparation, in prayer for what he's about to go through. He's already told Peter that Peter was going to deny him how many times? Three times. And Peter resisted that, said, no, 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 that's not going to be me, God. I'm not going to do it. He already knew all of his believers, all his followers were going to abandon him. Nobody at that point thought any of this stuff was going to happen. I don't think, if you read in the context, that any of his followers even thought this stuff was going to go down. I think they thought Jesus was just, you know, talking out of his head. We love you. We believe you most of the time, but come on. This is not really happening. We're not going to deny you. We're not going to abandon you. You know, nothing's going to happen. And you can see that they believe that by their behavior. Because when Jesus says, I want you to go now with me and pray. I want you to pray with me tonight. Because what's about to happen is important. It's major. It's world-changing. It's difficult for me to do. I need my brothers to pray with me. And this is where we pick up right here. Remember what he's told them. Remember all that they know. Remember what he is already trying to prepare them for. This is where we pick up. Then he came to the disciples and found them doing what, church?
Sleeping.
Wake up! If Jesus came back today, my question to you before we read any more of this verse is, would he find you awake, alive in Christ, living for Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, being on mission for the Lord, or would he find a complacent church that is asleep at the wheel? Would he find a bunch of people that say they love him but don't act like they love him? That say they believe in his teachings but don't actually follow any of his teachings? Would he find a bunch of people that says, yes, we care about other people but don't actually do anything for anybody else? Would he find a bunch of people that are two-faced liars and hypocrites that say to someone else's face that they're a follower of Jesus, but behind closed doors they're a completely different person? Or when they're not around the preacher, or when they're not at church, they're not the same. What would Jesus find? Because I don't care what I would find. You hear what I'm saying this morning? It doesn't matter if you impress me or not. I don't care. The only thing I care is that you are following Jesus. I love you and I want you to go to heaven. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is going to come back and he is going to judge everybody and you will have to stand before him. And my question is, when he comes to this group of disciples right here in this building, when he comes to us, is he going to find us sleeping when he has very clearly told us to be awake, to be alive, to be active, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be on mission, to be sanctified, set apart, that we're a holy priesthood, a royal nation, that we've been engrafted into the branch or into the vine, that we are his children? Who's he going to find? People that love him, are excited about him, excited about his work in this world, or a bunch of people living like they don't know him at all? Wake up this morning. Wake up. Then he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, what? Now think of Jesus actually saying this. He's outraged. What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now I want you to keep in mind here that Jesus knows that he is about to be led away to be beaten, to be spit on, to be persecuted, and crucified, and he's going to die. He is trying to prepare these men for this moment. And all he wants them to do right now is just pray for me 1 hour. Can you abide with me for 1 hour? Because trust me, when I'm gone, you're going to miss me. And you're going to need to be ready. You're going to need to be prepared. 1 hour? He leaves them. And they fall asleep 1 hour. And he comes back, and you can imagine he's probably thinking, these guys aren't ready. They're not ready. What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And then he gives them this advice. Some of the best advice you'll ever get as a Christian in Scripture. It's practical. We talked about this last night in our family devotion. It's so practical. So often, Scripture is symbolic. And it has meanings that you have to really dig in deep to find. And you know, some scriptures are like that, and they're fun to study, and sometimes they can really bear a lot of fruit in our lives. But then sometimes there are scriptures that are just practical and easy, and anybody can pick up on them and use them right now. And this is one of those. It's so practical. Jesus says this to all of us that tend to get distracted. There's important stuff going on here, people. Life or death, spiritual eternity kind of stuff. Pay attention. But we're going to sleep. Some good advice for those of us that tend to fall asleep, tend to get distracted from the real important stuff. He says, watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Now I'm going to stop right there, and I'm just going to explain to you what this word watch means. And this is one of those great words that has a deeper meaning. When I say watch TV, what do you think of?
Look at it.
Think of looking at it, and you think of having fun, being entertained, zoning out. Huh? How many of you get in front of a TV, you watch TV, and when you're watching TV, you just kind of shut off. You're in a fantasy world. You get to be a cop for an hour. You know, you get to be a great cook. You know, you're watching your cooking show, and in your mind, you're cooking with them, and you're just lost in it. See, when we say things like watch TV, we kind of get lost in it and we empty our mind out into that moment and we're not really thinking and paying attention. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody when they're watching TV?
Yes.
My wife does that very often. She tries to talk to me while I have noise-canceling headphones on. Now, Billy, if you don't know what those are, they're big, poofy headphones that cover your whole ear. I got them on because I don't want anybody else to be distracted by the stuff that's on my headphones, right? It's really for them.
Yeah.
So I got my noise-canceling headphones on. And my wife will walk by. She won't even look. And she'll obviously be talking to me. She'll walk by and she'll say something. And then I'll see her poke her head back in. Like that. And I go, I can't hear you. I've had these a while. You know that I can't hear you with the noise-canceling headphones on. And I was watching TV. I'm not paying attention to you right now. I love you. You might have to shake me if you want me to pay attention to you right now because I'm watching the TV. Now, that's not our whole marriage. I don't want you to think that's what happens all the time. But it's an example. You ever try to talk to somebody who's watching TV and they don't hear anything you say? Right? Maybe you even get mad because they don't hear anything you say. That's a different kind of watch. This watch is not like that. This watch, this word watch, means that you're paying attention to an enemy that's coming. Okay? You're preparing for some sort of invasion. You're preparing for some sort of danger that is lurking, that's coming. We had a string of robberies in our area years ago, and it really unsettled me. My neighbors were robbed. They had their back door kicked in. A lot of people in our area were robbed. And I remember, and April remember this very well, as a man, the man of the house, I was very anxious for a while. I would make patrols around my house and my neighborhood at night. Sometimes, Billy, I know this sounds crazy, I heard something and I would run outside in my underwear with my gun and I would sprint around the house daring somebody to be there. Either the gun was going to get them or me and my underwear was. Something was going to happen, right? I was going to get them. That's a different kind of watch than watch TV and zone out. This is not talking about zoning out and praying. This is talking about recognizing there's an enemy that's trying to kill you, that's trying to destroy you, that's trying to tear you down, that's trying to invade your marriage, that's trying to invade your mind, that's trying to invade your body, that's trying to do war with your soul. This enemy wants to destroy your life. Christians, watch. That's the word Jesus uses. Why are you sleeping? The enemy is afoot. Why are you sleeping? We're about to do spiritual warfare and you guys don't even know it. I'm praying and I'm sweating blood here because I know what's coming. And you guys are taking naps. Jesus would say the same thing to us today. The enemy is coming. The enemy wants to destroy you. The enemy wants into your life, into your home, into your mind. Watch for the enemy. Know the enemy. Know where they're coming from. Know where he attacks you. Know what tempts you. And this is the practical part. Every person in this building right now, down to the youngins, know what's tempting. Marilyn, whatever it is that tempts you may not tempt your husband. And whatever tempts your husband may not tempt you. Every single person in this place right now, you know how Satan will try to attack you. But for some reason, Christians still don't pay attention to it. We ignore it. We don't spend any time thinking about it or preparing ourselves for it every morning when we wake up. We know it's an issue. We know it's an area that Satan attacks our mind. He attacks our body. He attacks our family. We know it's a weakness. But we ignore it. We stick our heads in the sand. We want to pretend like it's not there, like it'll just go away. We want to fall asleep. And Jesus is saying, listen, the enemy is real. He's coming for you. This spiritual warfare is real. It's happening. And if you don't wake up and start watching, The enemy's going to slip in right behind you, and you're never going to know it. And now all of a sudden, the enemy has control of your life, and you're saying stuff you know you ought not say, thinking things you know you ought not think, doing things you know you ought not do, treating people bad, treating your wife or your husband bad, your co-workers bad, your church members bad. You're complacent in your walk. You can't pray. You can't read the Bible. You don't even know if God exists anymore. Hello? This happens, church. People in the church fall asleep all the time. They fell asleep on Jesus. And that was Jesus Christ. And they fell asleep on Him. And His practical piece of advice today is watch. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a what? A roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He's trying to eat you alive. And he's looking for you. And that verse sounds so similar, doesn't it? Watch. Jesus says, watch. Peter says, be sober and vigilant. It's the same exact idea. Pay attention to the enemy that's right outside your door. Now listen,
My translation says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy.
Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy. You guys know why we're called the Bear State? Somebody tell me why we're called the Bear State. There used to be a lot of bears, right? And we don't have a lot of bears anymore. Travis, you'd be more likely to see an armadillo outside or a possum than a bear. What if we still were the Bear State in reality? And we had bears all over the place, all the time, right? Your life and my life would drastically change, wouldn't it? It would change how you take your trash out. It would change how you let your kids play in the backyard. It would change everything. Now, I'm not saying you'd have to live in fear, but you'd at least have to know the bear's out there. There's a possibility there's a bear lurking. You see, a lot of us Christians pretend that the lion's not still prowling, not still looking for people to devour. We ignore it. We fall asleep. We get distracted on other stuff. And he slips in and he takes a bite. I pray that he didn't hang on and get a hold of you all the way. So church, wake up and start watching. You know, the enemy does not have horns and a tail. If you think Satan has horns and a tail, you've been eating too much deviled ham. He will come in a lot of forms, and I guarantee you, he will come in ways that will intentionally be deceptive, tricky. He's a liar. He doesn't want you to know he's prowling around trying to devour you. He wants you to think it was your idea to do that. He wants you to think it's so-and-so or such-and-such ruining your life. He wants you to think that it's not him. He wants you to think he doesn't even exist. He doesn't care if you're an atheist. He doesn't care if you believe in him. He just wants you to be fooled, distracted, asleep, so he can do what he does. And Jesus is saying, wake up. Pay attention. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Let's finish our first verse, Matthew 26:40-41. It says, watch, and it says, pray. Now, I do something. You can adopt this if you like. You can have a different strategy. I'm going to share with you what I do. I have identified all of my major temptations, all of the weaknesses, all the ways that I know for a fact, Miss Gloria, over time, that Satan has attacked me, that the enemy attacks me, where my body and my flesh is weak. I know them. I can have long conversations with you about the temptations that I have and how hard the struggle is sometimes. And I'm watching. I'm looking. And I pray every single day. After I give thanks and I give praise, I spend a long time giving thanks and praise, I immediately go to that self-evaluation. And I might say, thank you, God, because I wasn't even tempted in this area yesterday. I haven't been tempted in that area in a week. Or I was tempted a few days ago or yesterday or this morning, and God, you're keeping me strong. I pray that you would keep me strong. Never ever let me forget that I have this weakness. Never ever let me forget this is where Satan wants to attack me. Help me to avoid situations that would promote this in my life. Help me to avoid triggers that might make me want to do this or that. I'll just tell you right now, one of my big weaknesses is physical stewardship. I mean, you guys know I used to weigh almost 400 pounds. So it's a big deal for me to take care of my body. And I know historically, back to childhood, I've always struggled with eating and not exercising and really just kind of just not taking care of this body that God has blessed me with. So every day I get up and I say, God, thank you for where you brought me, but don't ever let me forget that this is your temple. Don't ever let me forget that I have stewardship over this, that I'm blessed, that this is what takes care of my wife and my children and my congregation, that I can do your mission and serve you only in as much as my body is healthy. So I want to recommit today. Help me to see where my triggers are. How many of you went on a diet and you had your most favorite food in the whole world loaded in the cabinets? You know what my strategy has been historically?
Eat it all.
Eat it all! And then it won't be there. And then tomorrow I'll be real good, right? So, you know, if there's like a big pack of Snickers bars or something, then I go, I just got to eat these, man. There's too many Snicker bars in the house. I don't need them. How stupid is that? But that is what I want you to see about this strategy, this watch and pray. You need to pay attention to where the enemy will attack you, where the enemy slips in and grabs you. You need to pray every single day, thanking God for how he sustains you. But also, pray for forgiveness. Pray for forgiveness. Say, God, I didn't make it. I got tempted. I prayed. It was so, so hard, and I am so disappointed in myself, and I know I don't deserve it. Please, please forgive me. Have mercy on me, God. Guys, if we're not praying that sort of prayer, and we're not being watchful daily, odds are we're just complacent. We're asleep, and we don't care anymore, and the enemy's just running rampant all over our life. It takes daily maintenance, and your pastor does daily maintenance. I have to. Watch and pray. Find those triggers. Find the way that Satan tries to get into your life, and pray every single day for strength to resist, for thanks, for grace and mercy and the patience of God. Pray for the Holy Spirit to be so alive in you that nothing else could be in there. Wake up! Look at the person next to you and say, wake up. See, Satan's already working on some of you. He's going, this dude's preaching all day. He ain't never going to shut up. It's a story after story, and he's rambling. He's telling me to talk to people. I hate that. He's already working on you. I'm here for your good, your benefit. God's trying to encourage you, teach you, and grow you right now. So stick with me, okay? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. You know, there's another passage that Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, that echoes this same sentiment. It says, and do not lead us into what?
Temptation.
But deliver us from the evil one. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. This is when they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. You better believe that prayer was short, Billy. So you better pay close attention to the components. This was one of the things that Jesus instructed his disciples to do when they prayed, is lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I'm not saying that you've got to repeat this prayer, okay? It really should be more personal than that. It really should. You should be waking up every single day, and part of your prayer should be, what's my temptation, God? Please help me not go there. Help show me when I'm heading that direction. Help remind me I'm not supposed to look at that, say that, act that way, think that way. Help me, God. I need your help so that I don't get led into this temptation. You know, sometimes I just got to turn a computer off. Hello? Sometimes I just got to turn a computer or a TV off. You look at my Facebook page, I got the most squeaky clean, uplifting spiritual Facebook page you're ever going to see. You scroll through it, church posts, scriptures, things like that. It's all I care about. That's all I want on there. That's how I want to engage with people. In fact, when people post things that are unsavory and immoral, I just unfollow them. You know, I don't defriend them. I just unfollow them so I don't have to see that junk. My kids don't see it when we're scrolling through it. You know, I just don't want that on there. I showed my wife the other day. Doesn't matter how squeaky clean your Facebook post is, Will, there'll be some good-looking girl want to friend me. With all of her goods hanging out. And then some, right? I didn't ask for it. I didn't sign up for it. I didn't go looking for it. It's just there. And how many of you know sometimes all it takes is just one look? Just that's it. It's a trigger. That's it. That's all it takes. Sometimes you got to do a Joseph. You know the story of Joseph when the woman was trying to have sex with him, Travis? That's what she was trying to do. Read the Bible. He was so faithful to God and so faithful to the man he served that the Bible says that he ran so hard and so fast that the woman pulled him out of his coat. He left his coat behind. You can imagine she's pulling on his coat and he's like, "Whoa!" And he got away. And he just ran as fast as he could. Sometimes when you see that temptation coming and you're praying, God will say, "Run away. Get away. Stop looking. Stop listening. Get some distance. Don't spend any time here. If you're an alcoholic, you don't need to go to the bar." I mean, it's a basic, simple idea. Easy to understand. Wake up. Watch and pray so that we won't be led into what, Billy? Temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh my goodness. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, I'm not going to ask for any hands to be raised. I just want you to internalize this for a moment. How many of you have ever fought the good fight on a spiritual level? It was tempting. It was hard to resist. You lasted for minutes, hours, days, maybe months. You didn't say that thing. You didn't think that thing. You didn't do that thing. You stayed away from that stuff. Whatever it is, you really were doing great. And then you just have that weak moment, and it happens. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now see, I don't believe there's a single person in here that doesn't want to do right by the Lord. I don't think there's a single person in here that doesn't love Jesus, that doesn't love his teachings, that doesn't want to follow his teachings. I don't think there's a single person in here that would just outright be rebellious and say, "I don't care about that stuff." I don't believe that. But what I do believe, this room is full of people described in this scripture because it describes all of humanity. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And if you know the flesh is weak, if Jesus teaches us the flesh is weak, right after he stumbled across his disciples who were supposed to be praying before his crucifixion, and he says the spirit is willing, these guys got a good spirit, they love me, they're following me, they want to do what's right, but they still fell asleep. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If you know that, you'd better wake up, you better watch, and you better pray. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you this in the end, and Jamie's going to come up and share this last song with us. Because the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, there are going to be people here right now that have failed in some areas of their lives. Well-intentioned, God-fearing, God-loving people that struggle with temptation, and you're here today and you're honestly saying, "I have failed. And I want forgiveness. I'm looking to do better." I'm telling you right now, all you've got to do is say, "God, please forgive me. Forgive me where I fail you." He is full of grace. He is full of mercy. And he is full of patience. Now listen, y'all, he's not going to put up with you living like a heathen and ignoring him and spitting his face. But anybody who's doing their best to set their mind on the things of the Spirit, and they're walking in the Spirit, and they're living for him, but you're struggling, he wants you to pray today. He wants you to pray for forgiveness. He wants you to pray for strength. He wants you to pray for closeness to him. He wants to help us in our time of need. The Holy Spirit, remember from our series, is our help. And we got it, church. So this morning, as Jamie comes forward to sing this last song, if you need help this morning, if you need to wake up, you know you've been sleeping, you've been complacent, you've not been paying attention to the enemy, and he's already got a little bit of a foothold. This morning is the morning to say, God, forgive me. Help me to wake up. Help me to snap out of this. Help me to draw near to you. Help me to pay attention to how the enemy attacks me. And help me to be vigilant in my prayer life so that I'm constantly thanking you for the successes, praying for strength to endure the hardships and the temptations, and seeking your grace when I fail. Folks, the altar is open. Let's pray together, okay?